What is up, dreamers? Hey, what, darling? What is
How's
that?
It going? Cheeky.
Absolutely outrageous. Hello, Skip. This is...
That's my new move.
It's Sunday, the 8th of January, and this is the first episode of Get Lucid Season 2. This is groundbreaking, Smith. First episode of Season 2.
Hello, mate. Wearing a shirt as well.
Cracking out the shirts. All for the ladies out there, you know.
Exactly. Don't know why I'm wearing the glasses. Prescription lenses as well. Actually hurt my eyes a bit. I'll take them off.
Prescription versions of them. Jeez. Oh, dear. How's it going anyway, sir? I haven't seen you since the last time we did an episode. Well, episode zero, as we dubbed it.
Yeah, the test episode. No, it's going good, mate. Going good. Got a mild headache. Just had a lovely meat and two veg for dinner. I'm having a cup.
Meat and two veg. Oh dear, you got the old coffee going.
Something, isn't it? Something.
Oh shit!
Oh, what's that?
Well, that's just
that's awful.
It's ruined my life already. Oh well.
What was that?
I just absolutely smashed this glass that's on my table. It's all right though. We'll leave it like that.
Brilliant first opening to the season.
Dear me. So yeah.
What's the support? About again? Oh yeah,
lucid dreaming. Yeah, I think we should get on track. As usual, we massively have gone off track. It's pretty much our like thing to go off track though, so I'm not really too bothered. But yeah, we season two finally here. It's been what, a year?
I know. I feel so bad for taking this long to bring it out, but it's finally here with video. In HD? Is it HD? I don't know.
No, it's definitely not HD. I haven't got that cool of a computer. I gave it my best, but it's not HD. Oh well. Oh dear. So yeah, for the first episode back, man, I've kind of decided that we should really talk about lucid dreaming as a standpoint.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be good.
It's a lucid dreaming podcast. No, but I thought we should kind of go back to the roots, the original, and just quickly go over what lucid dreaming is. And for anyone that is watching this, we can say watching it now instead of listening to it. For the first time, I thought it'd be a good idea to like give a rough guide on what lucid dreaming is, and you know, quite a few of the terms that we say with ease, you know, we know what they mean. I think we should just go over them and let people know what they are, because I think that way it will give people, you know, fresh people a new look into lucid dreaming again. So yeah, so I've written down a little cheeky list of like acronyms and words, like buzzwords. Should we call them buzzwords?
Yeah, buzz them up. I like it.
Buzzwords of, you know, of like lucid dreaming terms. So, first off, Smith, do you want to give your little definition of lucid dreaming? Because I remember that I did it the first time round when we first did Get Lucid.
Yeah. Before. Right, so for anyone who's new to the whole subject and everything, lucid dreaming, yeah, you dream every night. It's just the fact that you know you're dreaming whilst you're in it. So you're aware that you're in the dream whilst you're in it rather than... What happens to most of us is we go to sleep, have a dream, wake up, and be like, oh, that was a bit weird. What was that about? And then you forget about it. But in that moment, you're aware you're in the dream, and you can help like create it or be part of it. You can do what you want. You're open to a lot of freedom. And me and Joe over the last year discovered loads of crazy shit that was going on and things we could do in the dreams.
Lightly, loads.
Yeah, I'd say, shit. 90% of that was sexually based, but you know. Was. You can go either way with it.
When you're not getting much in real life, you have to push the boundaries a bit, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Even though I've got the most frigid dream world ever.
Yeah. My dream world's been coming on to me recently. Absolutely ridiculous.
It sounds quite good.
I've been hot stuff. Dream's gagging for it. I had to turn a few down. Because it's just getting out of control. But, you know. But yeah, I mean, that's what lucid dreaming is. Sexual.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, really. Is that it's just like knowing like the consciousness of what where you are. I mean, it's not. To be honest, now that like I look back on it from what we are, from like what we've learned, lucid dreaming is almost knowing a state of consciousness rather than understanding your dream. It's like you know you're that just, you're in this just, world or in
it's a different
world.
It's a different state of awareness. That's what it is. It's, you don't realize because of the humdrum hustle and bustle of life, we're just going about our lives without realizing that there's these subtle variations of awareness.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to the point now where I'll start to apply things from lucid dreaming into the waking world. So I'll be walking around and rather than what's the quickest way to get to Tottenham Court Road, I'll be thinking, let's take in the environment, appreciate the surroundings, be aware of what's going on, you know, rather than just internally like thinking about day-to-day life of things. Like I've got to run to the shop and get some carrots. While you're going to the shops, appreciate the environment and get a feel for it. Be aware of what's going on in your surroundings. And it's sort of something you carry across into your dream world, and that's how you just like start to get lucid because you're more aware of what's going on.
That's a very good point. I like that one. That's one of the most clear things you've ever said, Smith. Well, I'm very impressed.
Wait till later. Two. Oh,
smashing it out. Well, I've got quite a few bullet points here of some terms,
points.
Some buzzwords, like I said. Of stuff that I think we should quickly explain. So we'll just run through the list really fast for anyone that's like pretty new to the show and new to lucid dreaming in general. So we've got reality checks.
Yep.
Reality checks. Oh. Try and link that one into the lucid dreaming. Do you wanna explain that one?
Yeah, I can do. Yeah. Well, reality checks. Basically, the best way to explain it is there's kind of like certain rules to a dream world. So. The gist of it is, like, for example, if I just told you now that light switches don't work in dreams, they don't. So I'll do a test now. This is called reality test. So I'll be like, right, let's check to see if the light works.
Don't turn the electrics off.
Well, you can't really get the full gist of that because there's light. There's a second pair of lights over there. But basically, you'll turn a light switch on and off in the waking world. And in whatever state, and if the light switch is working, that's kind of a true point. You know that you're in waking reality. If the light switch doesn't work, then it means you're dreaming. There's other tests you can do. Me and Joe's favourite one at the moment is hold your nose and blow. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, but
it's the best one.
I remember getting an email ages and ages ago from someone. I can't remember your name. I'm really sorry, but we get so many emails. But there was one. Specific email that was like, can you explain reality tests a bit better? Because when we first did it, we were kind of so juiced up that it was like, oh yeah, you just it was like that. So like, instead of decide, you know, we should kind of go through it because reality tests in themselves are
just... it's a massive part of lucid dreaming. I think like the thing is when you first start off, reality tests are there to make you get lucid by accident, basically. So you've conditioned yourself to do these reality test so often that you start doing in your dreams just because it's a force of habit.
Yeah.
And one day the light switch won't work and you'll be like, whoa, hang on.
I thought it was a dream.
I'm dreaming.
Yeah.
And then you usually wake up. But now I kind of use reality tests to confirm if I'm dreaming. So I'll be like, hang on a minute. That's a bit weird. Flick a light switch. Oh, it's not working. Bang. I know I'm dreaming.
Yeah.
Just to confirm it. Because sometimes you're in this weird state where you're not sure if you're dreaming or not. I mean, it's quite obvious to you now that you aren't dreaming, but whilst you're dreaming, it's very difficult to sometimes break through.
Yeah.
And you'll have a lot of doubt in your mind sometimes. And it can get a bit off-putting if you're dreaming or not. But once you do the reality test, it's kind of like a safety net.
Yeah.
Although they don't always work.
No. Well, I mean, you say that, but I've found that I take comfort in some reality tests that pretty much 100%. Like I said, the blowing out the nose one, which is where you...
The blowing out the nose one is...
See, now we've got video. We can actually show this. It's where you hold your nose and close your mouth and just try and breathe in and out. And if air flows in and out, then you're dreaming because...
If you can breathe whilst holding your nose, you're definitely dreaming.
So it's just little things that like test reality that give you a chance to get lucid, really. Because even though you've done them, you might not necessarily actually... become lucid because your brain works in weird ways whilst you're asleep. It's nuts. Right, I've got wild, Smith.
Oh, wow, they are my favourite. They are just so outrageous.
The wake and juice lucid dream.
The wake and juice lucid dream makes it sound so like, you're just going to sleep and you wake up. But it's so more, it's so mental.
It's actually epic.
You can't describe it.
Yeah.
You go to, the way it works is you go to bed and you'll get up and then you get in sync with your sleep cycle. So you wait till you're in a REM sort of period, which is the rapid eye movement.
Right.
Massively skipping loads it. And when you go back to sleep, rather than just going, right, I'm going to go to sleep, bang, whatever, you go into a dream. Awake induces, you go to sleep consciously. So you keep your mind alert throughout the falling asleep process. Yeah. So you're keeping your awareness. This is the whole awareness thing again, basically. You're aware of your being, your sense of self, whilst your body falls asleep. And whilst that happens, you'll start to get sleep paralysis.
Well, you get all the physical things, don't you, of sleep. And you kind of have to endure them.
They're sort of like little hurdles, and you have to stop yourself from getting a bit too excited or scared, because it can feel very weird. Like, when you've hit the sweet spot, because it's like your body starts to shake ridiculously. It doesn't actually vibrate in bed.
Yeah, but you get that. I still don't get that.
I don't get it all the time, but most of the times when I've had wilds, this happens. And I don't know if I've been misunderstanding things, because when everyone... I want to talk about astral projection again, but...
Well, we've got that in a second.
I'll carry on with the wilds, but like, my body vibrates a hell of a lot. Mm. And that, to me, is a sign. I guess everyone's different with this thing. Like, everyone has wilds differently and dream and juice and whatever, but for me, my body shakes a lot. And I'll start to hear things. So sometimes I've heard the ocean or dogs barking.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else.
Weird. What?
I don't know. It's something popped into my head that was a bit strange.
It's like dirty. It just popped out.
Dog's bollocks. Dog shit.
I don't hear dog's bollocks slapping when I'm having a wild.
What, like two little...
That'd be awful. I'd want to get out of that dream.
I don't know.
Because sometimes I'm in the vibrating state for about a minute hearing that.
Just hearing sweaty bollocks, sweaty dangly dog bollocks.
And then feeling it on your face.
So that's what a wild is, kids. Sweaty dog bollocks.
Hang on, let's get clear as that. Right, so you hear these weird sounds sometimes, and then you'll start to get these images that you sort of see when you daydream, but they'll be a bit probably more abstract. So it'd be a bit sort of... You can't describe it because everyone's different imagery. And every image is different. But it'll be this abstract image that's sort of reminiscent of a daydream, but it'll start to merge and be more solid until you come into a full scene and you're walking around this room. So you've been awake for the process of you lying on your bed to the whole...
We've been conscious for the process.
And then bang, into the dream environment. And when you do wilds, they seem a lot more potent. So it'll be like, oh, this feels proper real. Like, you'd feel exactly the same, basically.
Yeah, it's quite a strange experience. But yeah, well, that's a wild anyway.
Can we talk about astral projection?
I can go on to astral projection if you wish to.
Right.
On my list of bullet points, I do have astral projection.
Just cover it all.
So, yeah, smother... Like
a massive suffering.
Smother yourself up in some astral projection, Smith. Explain that one.
Well, like, thing is, I'm not very good at astral projection. I've only done
it
accidentally.
Well, explain it first.
Well, I think I've done it. Yeah, so don't take what I say for true. It could just be rubbish, but when I've experienced it, basically, if you didn't know this, everyone has two bodies. It's quite common knowledge.
Is it?
That you have. Yeah, everyone knows about the two bodies.
Six.
Do you not know about the two bodies?
No, I've got six.
Did you know you had two? Oh, right. Well, sorry. I'll, for the people who didn't realise, you've got two bodies. You've got your physical body and you've got your astral body, right? So,
what about your dream body?
Yeah, that's another body. That's a nobody.
Did you say there's multiple bodies?
But yeah, there's this astral body, which is basically a non-physical part of yourself, which could separate from you. Now, there's loads of terms like a silver cord that links it to your body and stuff and chakras and all that. And I don't really know the ins and outs of it, but I've had experiences of separating from my body. And that's basically what people call astral projection. And it's the whole idea that when you go to sleep, you're in a dream. But outside of that, you're actually in your astral body. And the dream is sort of something that's internal, whilst you're in this astral being, which is sort of hovering just above your physical body. Yeah. So it's like a three-tier thing. And that, like, you can learn to get lucid and learn to like control your dreams, but you can break through that and you can be in an environment which is basically a carbon copy of the physical world, which you'd be in your astral body, which is like a representation of yourself. And so far, after a year of doing it, I've managed to sink slightly into my bed.
Yeah. Into your mattress, in fact.
I've projected into my mattress, and it felt quite weird.
Yeah, but I thought
it doesn't sound that exciting.
I thought you got too scared and then didn't think you could get back or something.
Oh, yeah, you do. Like, talking about it now, it's like quite relaxing.
It's quite funny, yeah.
Quite casual. Like, yeah, just popped out my body, went through the bed, and that was it. But at the time, because astral projection, it does it feels, well, most of this stuff feels really real, but dreams can be a bit hit and miss sometimes. Yeah. They can be a bit like, a bit shaky. But the astral projection thing feels ridiculously real. And the first time I did it, I did shit myself, because you're away from your body. So it's like you're this, I don't know what you are really. You're like this being that can go through things, but you're still you've still got your sense of self. You've still got your thoughts and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I was in my bed and I was like, oh shit, what the hell? Like, it felt quite cool, but I couldn't move. I was like, I don't feel like I've had the control I do with my normal body here. Like, yeah. My astral body, I managed to levitate down, but I couldn't, like, get up and walk about and things. It felt like I was, like sort of stuck, immobilized in my bed. And I was like, oh, I want to get back in the body and getting scared and stuff. But that's one of the things to overcome when you're doing all this stuff, is not to get scared and remain calm.
Yeah,
because
that's a massive
at the end of the day, these are all new and crazy experiences, but nothing can harm you at all. You're perfectly safe. It's just that it's a bit alien to everyone. I mean, I only found out I had an astral body like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So to use it like consciously for the first time, it's going to be pretty scary. And I know saying this stuff, you sound like a nutcase.
You do if you talk to people that are not necessarily involved in dreaming and consciousness.
You can't talk about this stuff down like a public corridor.
No, but that's the thing. This is what I think the beauty of it is. You know, most people that are like lucid dreamers and, you know, conscious seekers, I think are just normal people like us. You know, just general, random knobheads
There's a hell of a lot of people out there that have experienced stuff like
this. Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, we're not all nutters, so there's some truth in it. It's just that it's hard to document everyone's experiences, because you go on and, like, everyone's had different experiences and coming up with different terms of things. At the end of the day, you just got to explore as much as you can and just take it for what it is.
And on that note,
sometimes I think we read too much into it.
Yeah, we do, yeah. But on that note, let's try and crack on with this list. This is gonna be about a 4-hour episode if you keep going on like this on these. You take the limelight, it's all yours.
I'm passing the egg. Take it.
Yeah, I don't even like eggs.
It's the podcast egg. I'm throwing it your way.
Before the episode, Smith said to me, he said, Oh, Joe, I'm a bit worried. We haven't got that much to talk about. We haven't got that lucid boost. Well, you've just solved that problem, Smith. You've just chatted for half an hour about astral projection, mate.
There you go.
Wonderful. Right, on this, I've got wake back to bed.
Right.
Wake back to bed.
One of my favourites. I'll let you do this one.
Commonly known as the WTB.
Oh.
WBTB, actually. I kind of mucked that up. But yeah, wake back to bed. Wake back to bed's another method of attempting lucid dreams. But it's kind of... It's not really a method itself, though, is it, really? It's like you kind of combine it with other ones to gain lucidity. But it's when you go to sleep at, like, a normal time, but you wake up at specifically normally about 6 hours once you've gone to bed, stay up for a little bit longer, maybe like half an hour to an hour, and then go back to sleep, and you normally get lucidity. So if we're going to talk about wake back to bed, that's what that is. Then we've got wilds. Oh, I've done that one.
We dub
wild. Dildos.
Keep up. Dildos. Dildo. Oh, everyone loves them.
Dildos
are a bit hit and miss, I have to admit. But when they fire off, they can be quite pleasant.
Depends. Oh, shit. The dildo.
For any new listeners, that is the dream-induced lucid dream.
Mm-hmm.
And we just put an O on the end for a laugh.
Zero. For just to make it sound a bit more comical, because otherwise it's quite boring. I mean, dildo sounds much better.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. But yeah, dream induced lucid dream is where you become lucid within a dream itself. So there's no external factors from the physical world that you're attempting to use. You're just purely getting lucid from the dream itself.
You're just being a dream, not going on what's going on. You might see a pink elephant.
Yeah.
Do a reality test and be like, bang, dreaming.
Or
easy.
You know, just some people just naturally have, you know, dildos tucked away in their sock drawer. We're going for exactly the same words there. That's ridiculous. And they'll just have them naturally, you know, dildo up the bum.
Some
naturally.
People actually have multiple amounts of dildos with different attachments. So, took it too far, didn't I?
So are we actually still talking about dreams here, or your dirty sex fetish?
I don't have any. Don't look at me.
He says he doesn't do dildos, but do butt plugs count? Yeah.
That's a different technique. We'll cover that later.
We've got two others here that are actually complete geniuses, really, within the field. But we've got DJ LeBee and Robert Wagonwheel.
The messiahs.
DJ LeBee and Robert Wagonwheel, who, to any layman, is actually Stefan LeBurge and Robert Wagner. But we kind of have given them a little twist. So, yeah, if we ever talk about DJ LeBee, that is Stefan LeBurge. And then Robert Wagonwheel. Robert Wagner.
Two guys who wrote some wonderful books on the subject that have helped me and Joe a hell of a lot.
If you haven't checked out their books, you need to check out their books, basically. So, but yeah, that's... Oh, no, we've got one more. False Awakenings. False Awakening is where you wake up into another dream and then you're like, oh, this is real life. And then you go and do something else and you wake up again and it's pretty much what it means, False Awakening. So you...
It can get quite annoying because you're awake
for me, because I wake up and then I wake up again and I wake up again and I wake up again and I'm like... This is a bit shit. What a shit dream.
And the thing is, everyone has them. It's just, it is kind of annoying because you've got the experience of brushing your teeth about three times. Yeah, and then you wake
up. Socks on for work. I normally get that. I'm like, oh, socks going. Oh, I'm awake again. What? That's kind of frustrating. I actually found that it's actually a massive dream sign for me is mirrors, because in my false awakenings, I always go into the bathroom and I always look at mirrors. Oh, we should have done dream signs. That's another one. Well, here you go. Yep. Dream signs are signs in your dream. Which you consistently see. So like if you see multiple times, and then you can use that to check for reality, and then that becomes
something. Yeah, right. I mean the big key with the whole, what are they called again? Dream signs. The big thing for that is have your dream journal.
Yes.
Because the more you write in it, the more you've got a document of your dreams, and you start to look for similar themes. I mean, in episode zero, the little test one we did, I kind of discovered that I dream a lot about dogs.
Yeah, so we had a little laugh about that.
We had a little, let's not bring that up. No. Let's not rake up old graves.
That's what dogs do, don't they?
No, they don't.
Get the bones out?
I wish I never brought up the dogs now, if you're going to take it down this path again.
All right, I'll leave the dogs be. If you leave promise to leave be. The donkeys be from last season, then it's all...
All right, it's all under the water. It's all under the bridge.
It's all in the last episode.
No one needs to know about the dogs and no one needs to know about the donkeys.
That's all right then. Don't mind that.
Good.
Well, that's pretty much a massive roundup of lucid stuff.
Yeah. So if you've never lucid dreamed, this is your first time. Bang! There you go.
Well, first time watching,
at
least you kind of an understanding of what we call stuff. Because I suppose it's taken like a whole year for us to start chatting shit about lucid dreaming. So hopefully that's caught you up on some of the terms that we use. Anyway, that was a ridiculous amount of stuff.
I loved it. Yeah. That was really nice.
Right. So now we've juiced up through all that. It's just juice everywhere. Should we smash out some dream experiences? You were talking to me earlier about...
The recent dream experiences.
Yeah, I will say there's not that many. We're not going to lie about it.
It's not been great, actually, recently.
No, I think it's ever since we've stopped Get Lucid. Like, when was
it's
it?
It's because, it's you know what it is? I think one thing that... Oh, again, the one thing business. There's like a really good thing that me and Joe had when we first started this, which we haven't been keeping up with. Yeah. And that was the fact that me and Joe would be in contact with each other a lot. And like pretty much every morning, like five times a week, we'd phone each other up and tell ourselves about the dreams or little things we'd achieved or what we're trying to do.
It sounds a bit homo, I think that, but...
It was not homo.
Well, it wouldn't matter if it was, but...
Well, I've got work colleagues watching this. I don't want to think in things like that. Embarrassing.
It was a bit weird though. I remember like I'd call you up every morning.
It's not weird.
I'd call you up every morning, and like my work colleagues at the time, like who do you keep ringing every morning? Is it your girlfriend? Is it your mum? I was like, no, it's my mate Smith. We're going to talk about dreams. What?
No, but like the thing is, like it would be really passionate as well.
It would be. We'd get.
You turn a few heads. You'd be like, what is going on?
It was fun. But that
I think is a really good thing. So if you want to get into lucid dreaming, find a friend you want to do it with or whatever, because you can bounce ideas off each other and you get excited about it. I think that's one of the things that really helped us, which no one talks about if you look about lucid dreaming. Pair up with someone, have like a little lucid partner.
Lucid duo. It's like a crime
lucid
fight,
duo. That's what you need.
Yeah.
And then build it up and try and whack out a shared dream or something.
Oh, that's pushing boundaries.
Oh, that's naughty.
That is naughty.
No, but I think that's one thing that helps, like if you're in a group or something. Even if you got like a big group together and hired out like a hall, and then you could have like meetings on once a week. That'd be pretty cool.
Lucid Council. There's no way they let you in that. That'll be like the elf.
I say we do that, man. We could hire out my local Willingale Village Hall.
You want to start a Lucid Council?
Meetings. Lucid Council. Be like Star Wars.
Yeah, it's like an uprising. Lucid!
Quiet! Hear! Tell me your dream, darling.
You'd be the worst person with a gavel as well. You'd be like smashing it all the time, like, rally down!
The thing is, like, me and you do a chat about an hour on it. I mean, if we had our own, like, little meeting, it would last about 4 days if there's a few people there.
You'd get people out of the hall. We'd lock it.
No, you could do other things. You could do, like, Inception viewings and, like, stories and...
Play some Xbox.
And meditation exercises together. Oh, we should do this, Joe.
Oh, I don't know.
Set up, like, a little Lucid meeting.
We've gone on a massive tangent again.
You don't have to go that far. Just find a friend and bounce ideas with each other like we do.
But yeah, that's a definite massive way of getting, of helping Lucidity anyway. So yeah, go on. Yeah. Talk about your Lucid experiences if you have any, or just dreaming experiences in general.
Mate, I'm getting dehydrated here.
Yeah, well, that's why I've got water. I've been sipping it all the time.
I've just nectar tea.
I've forgotten how...
how outrageous it gets.
How ridiculous we have to talk about.
Oh, I'm going to get the podcast come down after this.
You're like really down for a couple of days. Oh.
Sweating. Right. Okay, well, I wanted... Oh, this is a lucid dream I had. This is a while ago, but I never talked about this one.
Right.
And shoot it. I mentioned it on Zero, but like I wanted to find Da Vinci in my dream.
You wanted to what, sorry? I didn't quite catch that.
I wanted to find Da Vinci because like we talk about things like get better at skills, and I wanted to get better at drawing. So I was like, well, if I whack out Da Vinci, he can teach me, you know, some pretty good tips because he was good.
He was the dog's nads.
Da Vinci was
the dog's nads at drawing.
He was, and painting, and sculpting, and inventing, but I just wanted him for drawing.
Did he play
so
the lute?
That's what I wanted him for.
That's the one thing I didn't hear him. Did he play the lute?
I don't know. I'm not his mate. I just know that he was good at drawing.
I reckon he would have been a laugh to, you know, take down a pub. Right, lads, I've just drawn this amazing picture. Oh, wicked Da Vinci, well done. I've also invented a helicopter. What's a helicopter? Well, it runs on this thing called electricity. What's that? Oh, don't worry, you wouldn't understand. Oh, dear.
Anyway, well, I wanted to find him. And I've been trying to do this for a while. So, like, I'll go to sleep and I'll be like, right, I've got to find Da Vinci. Because I wanted drawing tips. So I was in this like sort of school building almost, so educational building, so that helped me a little bit. And I was like, I know for a fact that Da Vinci is going to be around the corner. I was lucid straight away. I think it was a wild that I got into.
Right.
So I was in the school building. I was like, I know Da Vinci is going to be around the corner. So as soon as I go around there, he is. But he was like a modernized Da Vinci. So he had all the gear on, but he was chatting on a mobile phone.
Oh, that's pretty like, cool, man.
It was just like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right, Gary, or whatever.
Gary?
I don't know. I can't remember what he's saying. It's a long time. It was a while ago I had this dream.
Oh, Michael, get off the phone.
I was like, I tapped him on the shoulder. I was like, oh. And this is what you do when you want to do something. Rather than asking people, you already, like we talked about this, like you already intend it to happen.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, I'm here for the drawing class, Da Vinci. You're right. And he's like, oh, yes. Oh, yeah, sit down. So I sat down with him and he's like, right. And he started talking about drawing. And I was like, I get worried that I'm going to wake up. So I'm like, yeah, cut to the chase, mate. Can we show me some tips on how to get better at drawing?
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, okay. So he was saying one of the hardest things to draw is in a human expression is shyness. So he's like, he started to try and teach me how to draw shyness. And I was like, oh, here we go. This is going to be interesting. And then as soon as that starts, a dream character comes in the room. I'm like, what are you doing here? I sort of got a bit
hostile, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, what are you doing here? I'm trying to have a one-on-one with Da Vinci, yeah? You know how long I've been planning this? This has been arranged for 8 years.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I ignore it. Then another one comes in, and this is like an old woman with a shriveled face. It's all multicoloured.
Right.
And I was like, oh, what are you doing here? Look, I was getting a bit annoyed now, like, because your emotions get heightened.
Yeah.
All I wanted to do was improve my drawing, and I didn't want to deal with these distractions. So... rather than saying anything, I looked at this multicoloured old woman's face and I said in my mind, like, get out, basically. You're not allowed to be here. And I looked at her proper, I gave her the proper burn. I was like,
evil.
Get out. Get out, you filthy slut.
Oh.
And she walked away.
You told the colour lady to go.
I didn't say that, but I just said it. And I just did it with the mind.
Yeah, but
so you don't even have to talk it. You don't even have to talk in your dreams. You can just mind it to people. You're just like, get out. And she got out. But then more people started coming in, and more people. And before you knew it, I was in a crowded room of dream characters with Da Vinci, and I was getting really angry. I was like, look! I was like, what are you doing here? Are you here for the drawing class? And they were like non-responsive. And I was like, look, just get out. You're not meant to be here. I've arranged this for ages. Like, this is a one-on-one private tuition for a drawing class. I was really trying to fight my case to sit down. And it just went mental. Like, all the dream characters turned on me. Da Vinci looked at me. He was like, this is awful. So I had all the dream characters come up to me, and the scene faded and it went black. And then basically I didn't see anyone, but I felt my body getting twisted. And it was basically like the dream turned against me because I was getting really angry. And it felt horrible. I was just getting twisted like a Stretch Armstrong. All my body was getting in these awkward positions.
So pretty much what happened was that you got to the point that you wanted to get to test it out, to test to find Da Vinci in that.
I found Da Vinci, and I was really chuffed.
The dream was kind of throwing distractions at you. So you kind of hit what I hit a while ago. You know, when I asked to see my higher self.
Yeah.
And then he threw a woman at me, and that was it. Game over. No more higher self. You've had kind of the opposite, where you found the thing that you wanted to, which I kind of did, but then your dreams like forced itself to distract you. That's really strange. How do you think you should have dealt with that instead of like how you did?
I don't think right now I don't have enough focus to hold that. I mean, I managed to get Da Vinci there, and I managed to get him to start helping me to draw, but I think at the back of my mind, I've still got this worry about waking up, and that plays on me. And then when people were coming into the room, I got immediately quite aggressive and angry. And instead of, I don't think I should have got like that, because it ended up, they turned it against me. Like, as soon as people started entering the room, I was like, I don't want people here.
Yeah.
And as soon as I thought that, more and more people came in, and the whole thing just turned on its head and went against me. So I think maybe what I should have done is stabilized it a bit better, because I found Da Vinci, I wasn't worried about stabilizing it. So, like, which is a term used to sort of hunker you in the dream so you don't wake up as quickly.
Because
we didn't cover that, did we?
I didn't think that was that necessary. So it's not too bad.
Rubbing your hands and stuff. Yeah. But so maybe I should have just been a bit calmer. And it's hard to keep focus when you've got these distractions.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't have got angry. I mean, usually getting angry in a lucid dream, I've never had good results from that.
Mm. Well, I mean, getting angry in real life, you don't really get great results.
No, exactly. So just be nice. I should have gone up to that woman with a multicoloured face and like, you got a lovely face. Do you want to sit down and
join me,
help me draw?
Yeah, that's probably the better response, wouldn't it be? So
yeah, I mean, she was awful though. It looked proper weird.
Well, I'm not surprised if she's got a leathery multicoloured face.
It was ridiculous.
What about your struggle for lucidity? Because like, you're pretty much in the same position as me, where, because we haven't been in the loop almost, you know, we haven't been in, it's almost like we haven't been involving ourselves in lucidity because we haven't been doing Get Lucid. Do you think that we're going to instantly pick this back up now we're back on the podcast, or do you think we've kind of lost it?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I know so, because that's what we're sort of like that anyway.
Yeah.
But I've started meditating again. Yeah, you do. I've started meditating again. And I've got kind of back into it again.
Yeah.
But like, it's really, like, I think lucid dreaming is a really hard thing to do if you're not dedicated.
If you're not dead.
No, dedicated.
So, like, if you're not dead.
It's hard, because I went from being massively into it and, like, doing it all the time. That was my main focus in life, to doing it as a casual hobby.
Right.
And I think if you take it too casually, you can't really achieve what you want or get that good at it. So you have to devote quite a lot of mental energy to the cause of lucidity. Lucidity? That's their website.
Lucidity website.
Yeah, but
I will promote that later.
But we've got the juices to get us like that.
Yeah.
I mean, some people are natural at lucid dreaming, and for some people it's a lot more effort. I guess if you can get to the stage where you can adopt that sort of level of awareness to your everyday being around, so you can be talking
to
someone.
You'd be so aware, though. You'd be so aware of life.
You have to be. Like, yeah, you'd be like Jackie Chan, like, what was that? Like, a leaf will fall down, and you'd be like, what is going on?
Yeah,
exactly. I can feel vibrations. There's a car coming around the corner.
Move out the way. No. Yeah, no. It's just so difficult. Like, I think the best way to describe it for people is you remember that door technique that we did ages ago, you know, with the door frame?
Every door
that you walk through, you have to just touch the door frame and just go, oh, am I dreaming? And I think that's actually a really cool technique because no one does it. It's so hard. And that's kind of the whole point of lucidity. It is. Like, it's not easy. It isn't easy. But people are like, oh, here's a quick fire guide to get lucid in 2 days. Like, doesn't work like that.
Here are the secrets. Yeah. $9.95.
There's no secrets for £30. Don't listen to that. That's a lie. Don't listen to that. If you're gonna spend some money on lucid dreaming, buy a good book and read through that. Yeah, because that's,
and they're cheap as well.
Yeah, I mean they're actual
the thing
information.
Is like, it's like there's a lot of good information out there, and most of it's free. But like anything else in life, you're required to sort of. Like with dreaming, it's something that happens naturally, and we all do it every single night. So everyone's capable of being lucid.
The thing is, it's kind of like saying, "Oh, we've all got hands, right? We've all got hands, but not all of us are very good at writing, or not all of us are very good at playing tennis. Playing tennis is better because we work.
Yeah, again, yeah, yeah.
So you've got to work to, you know,
you have to work
out of your hand.
Is...
That was a bad example, but yeah, so.
The thing is, like, it's not physical, so there's no restraints,
right,
really. Yeah. It's your mental.
But you've still got.
It's your awareness. It's building up the awareness.
But what I mean is that you're taking something that we naturally have, which is dreaming, and to get anything out of it in the sense of consciousness, you need to put work in to practice and to get good. I mean, dream journal is a huge discipline to be able to, like, wake up in the middle of the night and write something down. People say, oh, just do a dream journal. You know, it's going to help you out so much. Like, fuck that. That's so difficult to actually just be able to do.
Don't
that.
Don't say that.
It's,
no,
of
but
course,
yeah,
it's the most important thing, but it's so hard to just do it. Like, no one has the discipline, I feel, anyway. No one normal.
I've got a cheeky new take on the dream journal, which I'm going to whack out on the next episode.
I'm going to jizz it all over, but you didn't. You're holding it in.
Oh, no. I haven't done it yet, so it might not work.
All right, you're cooking it up.
I'm cooking it up, mate. It's on gas mark 5, ready for the boil.
It's boiled. This better be boiled by next episode.
When it's boiled, it's going to froth over onto episode 2.
Right. Froth over.
Mate.
That is the best analogy. But yeah, so that is why I feel that we're not lucid dreaming very much, because it's effort, and we haven't had both the interest, nor have we had the well, I mean, you haven't had the time. I've probably had the time, but I've got. It's also routine as well. Do you find that when you're out of routine, that you lose a lot of things like that, especially sleeping patterns?
I definitely had a lot of lucid routine.
Because I think shift work kind of mucked me up a bit. You know, doing weird shifts that I start at, you know, I start at 2 here, and then I start at like 6 in the morning here, and then. Whereas when I had like a routine, you know, and I woke up at specific times, I knew I could do wake back to beds. I knew when my body kind of expected when I was going to go to sleep. So there was no shock to the system. Do you think that might have something to do with it as well? Like a lack of lucidity?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I reckon.
Great answer there, Smith. You've really opened
I've really
that one.
Broadened that one out. No, everyone's different. Everyone's on different sleep cycles and stuff. But when we were doing our routine, I think it was a number of things. Like if you're not getting a steady sleep cycle or sleep pattern, then your body's going to be jumping all over
so
the shop.
Sleep like, is the one thing. And
you need lots of sleep. We've
already talked about like having someone to talk about, having someone to get juiced about.
Yeah, that's
like a second. And to be honest, like, podcasts juiced us up as well.
You're right about the whole when you sleep, because when I started this new job, I was commuting to London, which I'm not used to doing. So when I used to lucid dream like back in the day, I'd sleep for longer.
Yeah.
So I'd find it easier getting lucid, basically, because I'd have time to do wake back to beds. Now I don't have time to do that. So I'd get up, I'd get in the car and drive to the tube station, and I started noticing, because everyone has a little kip on the tube in the morning because you're knackered. I started to notice like after about 15 minutes of being on the tube, I go into this pseudo sort of daydreaming dream state of a pseudo semi-lucid dream, like daydream.
I know what you mean.
Like
because I'd
be going on sleep on the tube, and you can't go to sleep properly, but you lose a sense of yourself, and then you'll be like wandering like shaking on the train, and you'd have this weird daydream where you're slightly controlling it in some sort of way.
Mm. Well, you're almost. I wouldn't say controlling it. I know what you mean. It's almost directing.
Not controlling, but like you're more aware that of what's going on in the daydream.
I know. It's kind of like you're giving it direction
rather than the daydream getting lost in it, yeah. And then you'll be on the tube like Cockmasters, and be like, "Oh, what was that?" And it'll wake you up, and then you can go back to sleep again.
It's like that. There was a documentary someone posted on our Facebook, and if anyone hasn't been on it, you should actually check out our Facebook anyway, because it's ridiculous. There's so many people that post some really cool shit on there. So that what's the link? I think it's just Get Lucid UK at Facebook again.
Just Get Lucid.
Or is it just Get Lucid?
Oh, I don't know, mate.
It's probably Get Lucid UK. I'm pretty sure it seems that I made it and you didn't.
In Facebook, yeah. On Facebook, just type in Get Lucid.
Yeah, just
on Facebook.
Type it in and you'll find it. But yeah, on just there, someone linked us some a video.
Chill out.
A video about dreaming, and they said they were talking about like REM sleep and non-REM sleep, and how that in non-REM sleep you can still dream. So it's not necessarily that, because you don't go into REM sleep when you're on the tube, and you still have these weird daydreams. Yeah, exactly. No. So.
That'd be outrageous.
You'd be like paralyzed. It'd be like, next stop, upstairs. I can't get up. Job. Yeah, it'd be like that.
I'd miss my stop. This is ridiculous.
You'd completely miss your stop.
If you're a proper deep sleeper, that'd be so annoying.
Oh, and you'd snore like massively. So, oh, can someone wake Bill up? No, if you wake him up now, it's hell to pay.
Let him finish. Let him finish his lucid experience.
And they were talking about like people that didn't have the ability to paralyze themselves when they sleep, and they like acted out their dreams, and it reminded me of Duig, you know, and Duig like punched the wall because there's a monster in his dream. Like Duig's one of our friends that
muffed up his knuckles, didn't he?
Yeah, he like ruined his knuckles, and we were really worried because he could like punch his girlfriend in the face like whilst he was asleep. Like, monster. Michelle like wakes up like, oh, I'm crippled.
Could
you imagine that going to like the police? Like, oh, we think he might have been domestically abused. No, he just beats me in his sleep. That's not going to hold up in court, is it?
Chain him up when he goes to bed. Yeah.
What they did to these people. I felt really bad for him.
Then it would just turn into a bit of a fetish, though, I reckon.
What, a dreaming fetish?
Just chaining him to the bed. Oh, yeah. Yeah, my REM don't work. Yeah, chain me up. Chain me up, woman.
Oh, dear. That's
ridiculous.
Right. Back on topic again, Smith. Let's bring it round. Heard it round. Right, we've got some questions this week. Right, and if anyone who's watching now, because I know we've got like 10 people at the moment checking us out, we kind of didn't advertise it at all, really. We should have kind of done it in advance and be like, oh, guys, by the way, remember in a week we've got...
It's not our style. Just get them out. Get them in.
Yeah, we have got some questions, though, from... some people I will read out. But if anyone has any questions who's listening or watching, just write them in the little chat thing on the right-hand side.
I don't know if you have to register or not, actually, on Justin. But,
yeah, if you want to ask us anything, just do that. Right, we've got three questions. You know what I can do? I can do some really cool shit, actually. Oh.
Do it. Do your cool stuff. Do your witchcraft.
Oh, has that worked? I think it has. It should show part of the question, at least. Anyway, but yeah, we've got one from... Oh, no, it's not even the right one.
Oh, for God's sake.
It's this one I wanted.
Sort it out.
Oh, well, this one's we answered in the first, the episode zero, but I thought I'd answer it again because that's not really a proper episode. But yeah, it has two questions. When does season two start? Today.
Oh.
There you go. Today. Mate.
Tick that off.
That's from Markle Wasserman. And then he says, what is the intro song you play on the podcast? The intro song is Dream by the Pied Pipers, and that is... Awesome song from like the 40s or 30s, I think. So
rocking a good
and
beat.
And the song that we play at the end, which we've had people ask before, and they're like, I like
that song. It's nice.
That's Day Van Cowboy by Boards of Canada. And Boards of Canada.
That does. It gets the juices flowing. That at the end for me.
If you don't know those guys, they're two Scottish brothers that are absolutely amazing, and they do like ambient electronic music. So check them out. They're actually massive. But if you didn't know who they were, then that's who they are. And then we got a question from Dustin Carson, who says, I've only got lucid once through a dildo, but it wasn't instantaneous. I realised I was dreaming because I did a reality check, and it took a while. It's so ridiculous that people call it dildo. I love it. It took a while for the full implications of what that meant to sink in. It felt almost as if my brain was fighting me, trying to keep me non-lucid. I ended up waking before I was completely lucid. Do you find that becoming lucid can be a progressive thing that happens over time?
Can you answer that?
Boom. Well, yeah, we did cover something similar to this, I think, like on episode zero, but like there is different states of lucidity almost. So sometimes you'll get lucid instantly and everything will be really clear. You know 100% you're in a dream and you can basically go about and do what you want to do. Other times you'll be in a semi-lucid state where you know you're in a dream, but you won't think clearly. You'll get the weird dream logic and you'll do things that don't make sense.
Yeah.
And a prime example of this, I wasn't going to bring it up because it's quite embarrassing, but I got lucid the other night and I did the same thing again because I've done this before.
Right.
You know Scott O'Sullivan?
Yes.
He was in the dream and someone else was in the dream. I was like, oh, you're right, guys. I was like, you know, we're in a dream. We're in a lucid dream right now. Again, talking to them like, I mean, like I was saying that they're lucid dreaming with me, so it's like a shared lucid dream. Yeah. But I mean, you know, it's not because I'm not thinking correctly. And I was like, yeah, we're in a dream right now. This is a lucid dream. I was like, you can do whatever you want. And I was like, look, watch this. I don't know why, because I didn't want this to happen, but I got like this weird like little robot creature.
Yeah.
I gave it a razor, and he was rejecting it, and I was like, no, you're going to hold it. And I got him to shut. I got him to shave my pubes. Oh. I'm not even joking. And I knew I was in a dream. And he was like saying, no, I'm not doing this. And I, with my mind, I put the razor in its like robot hand.
Oh,
and I was like,
my
no,
God.
You're definitely doing
you
this.
You know what, that is just like...
And he started shaving. And I was, as he was doing it, I was like, see, Scott, see, you can do what you want. But I still knew it was a dream, but I'm not with it. No. It's like... Oh.
Still got that weird dream logic where...
Yeah, where you want to shave your pubes.
That's disgusting at the same time.
And then I woke up and I was like, did he shave them? No, definitely not.
So how is that relevant to the question again?
I don't know. It is relevant because he's saying like the whole lucidity thing. I was like, it's not as black and white as that, because if I was 100% lucid, there's no way in hell I'd get a little robot thing to shape my pubes.
Yeah.
Or say to Scott, oh, we're in a lucid dream. I would have tried to have done something that I wanted to have done.
See, here he said like, oh, it felt almost as if my brain was fighting me, trying to keep me non-lucid. I've actually had that quite a few times. And we've even said, even on this episode, we've kind of touched on the whole... like dreams trying to like distract you from your purpose of what you went into it for. And I don't know what the reason for that is, because from the sounds of it, a lot of people are getting this whole disappointing distraction that.
Yeah. Like, it's actually a massive part of it. Yeah, the whole lucid like, thing. You do get all these distractions.
It's like a huge, and you don't just stop at like, oh, now I'm lucid. I'm never going to get distracted again. It almost gets worse because
no.
you are lucid, but you can't, like, drive yourself to do something that you want to do. Like, we were fixed... Well, I was fixated, like, for the first season of like, lucid sex. Like, I just thought it was... I really wanted to try it, and I was fixated on it so much that I kept getting distracted whilst I was in a dream, or, like, you know, everyone was really frigid, or... And it kind of, like, fucked me up, and...
But now you've got it down to a fine art.
Got it down to a T.
Brilliant. How insightful.
But, yeah, like, and I think... I had it down so well that it actually became the distraction on the other things that I wanted to do, which was really weird because I'd spent so long on trying to like develop myself to be able to, you know, to like have lucid sex. And then once I finally, you know, had it down and like it was awesome, that then became the distraction. That then became the thing that was distracting me from my next step, which was, you know, to talk to my higher self or whatever your, you know, your state of consciousness is. And I think everyone actually goes through relentless distractions whilst they're trying to lucid dream. It's the nature of it.
I no doubt DJ LeBee and Wagon Wheel still get their distractions.
Yeah,
obviously they do. I mean,
the Wagon Wheel, I'm sure he does.
Oh yeah,
he's developed some amazing techniques to get around it though. The bloke. Whereas I think we're a bit too impulsive, Smith. We don't really think through what we're doing as we do it. It's like, oh, this,
yeah,
see you later, that's it, we're gone.
Yeah, well, like, the thing is, there's things you can do to help you maintain the whole correct state of mind. Like, some people will just go around the dream and say, you know, every 30 seconds, this is a dream, I'm dreaming. this is a dream I'm dreaming, just to remind you of what's really going on, to keep yourself topped up with lucid juices, basically. Like keeping yourself filled up, otherwise you might sink back into the hole. It's so easy to come out of it and be like, oh, shaving pubes, and just do stuff like that. So you have to be careful.
Oh, dear. That is true. All right. And then secondly, he says, secondly, I tried a wild for the first time last night, and I thought it was going along quite nicely. But my house's walls are paper thin, so every time I would feel sleep paralysis sinking in and my mind beginning to drift off, a car would drive by and pull me out of it. I was wondering if I could try pretending that the cars are just a part of that freaky sounds that built up in the sleep paralysis, and if that could fool my mind in continuing the sleep paralysis. You know, actually, I read something like a year ago that said... that said, you can kind of use real life sounds to keep yourself conscious during wilds. So, because a lot of people struggle, there's two kind of camps I found of people that try to wild. You know, there's the guys that are like, I can't seem to stay conscious and I just fall asleep every time, right? And then you've got the other guys that are like, I stay too conscious and I can't fall asleep, right? That way seems to be the two problems, right? And one of the problems, like you said, if you're trying to wild, I read that if you focus on something in the real world and keep completely focused on it, don't try not to think about anything else. Try and get rid of your inner dialogue and just focus on that outer noise. For me, it was a computer fan, right? So what I'd do is I'd turn off my lights, go to like lie down and go to bed and leave my computer on, and I'd hear this like in the background, right? And I'd focus really in depth on that, and then eventually I'd be like, oh my god, like what the fuck is going on? And then. Because I'd been focusing on that, I'd kept myself conscious enough to be able to do it, right? So maybe you could kind of use the cars to your advantage.
That is really good, because it's that monotonous sound that will just keep your mind a bit more awake.
Every now and then you might
hear a difference. There's a difference between like a nice, subtle fan going off on your computer and a full-on central London, like, meh, meh, get out of the way, mate!
maybe you could just... You know, train yourself to take that.
Train yourself to use that as background noise. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You might just live in a... Depends where you live. If you live in central London, just don't even bother.
Well, the best thing that completely takes away is put some earplugs in, sorted.
Or set up a roadblock, surely.
A roadblock? That's going to ruin everything, mate. Though. You're going to get police.
Go out.
But who's put this roadblock here? Not me.
Yeah, then you go into a cell and then you get a nice quiet night's sleep.
No, because you've got prisoners in the back getting raped. Oh.
That really ruined the experience.
So yeah, I mean that might be quite monotonous, you know, the sort of sound of a prison rape.
Oh, no way.
I think you'd be able to use that as like a test.
Don't use that as a test. I prefer the passing traffic than that.
Passing traffic. Well, I think we'll leave that one.
Well, if it's like really loud, maybe whack in some earplugs one night. Yeah. I don't know if that'd be any good. I don't know if I'd like to sleep with earplugs in though.
I've actually slept with music before, and maybe you could even put music on, and maybe that's that sort of subtle sound that you needed.
You can get some binaural beats and stuff like that. Lay down some tasty binaural beats. That'd be good.
Yeah, we've actually had some questions about that, but I haven't. I didn't really look into it because we kind of covered it a little bit.
Time.
We'll cover that this season, like binaural beats and isotropic or something. I can't remember.
Ice drops.
Yeah, we'll do them eventually.
Right. I don't know anything.
Well, seeing that no one's given us any other questions, that'll be it.
No, I don't want it.
55 minutes already, Smith.
Oh, that's gone quick.
That's gone very quick. Considering you were moaning about how you didn't think that we were going
to... I wasn't moaning. Don't say it like I'm like moaning all the time.
Like an old woman. No, I don't think we've got enough.
Who do you think you are? Who are you talking to, darling?
Right. Have you got any shout-outs this week, Smith Law?
I certainly do, to the wonderful and one and only Juicy Webs for hosting our show for us and doing graphic design. They've on the Facebook, they've popped up some iPhone backgrounds, if anyone wants them. Yeah, there you go. Slap that on if you fancy it. And we're all working together on this website. I know we keep beefing it up, but the curtains will be open soon and you'll be able to see it.
Yeah, we will get it finished. So it's going to be juicy, as the name goes. Juicy Webs.
There you go.
Big,
wonderful.
Big community of juice, that is. Lemon juice, orange juice, lime juice, apple, grape, any type. Woman juice.
Oh,
What? I didn't say anything.
Always gets like this. Every time. Can't do.
Is that it? Is that all the shout outs you've got? Just the one?
Yeah, well, I wanted to shout out to everyone on Dream Views, which is bloody loads of people.
That's a lot. That's like 20.
I really like going on there, and I don't post on there hardly at all, but I just like reading the posts. They're really interesting, and you get a real good feel of what's going on in the Dream community, what everyone's trying to do, and you learn a lot from it. Mm. So, boom, Dream Views.
Well,
peace.
That is a big one. And you should always go in the chat in Dream Views if you do log in, because I found any time that I've been in the chat, it's been awesome fun. So, yeah, try and get in the chat, people. It's good. It's a good laugh. I actually went on there yesterday. I had a few people that I remembered. A tiny talk, maybe like two sentences, and I went to bed. Bits.
All right, yeah. Oh, gotta go.
Gotta go. I've got a lucid dream. Name of the web. Yeah, I'll see you later. And that's it. That was it. But yeah, my shout outs this week, I've got quite a few actually. I've gone a bit mental. Got one for Andy Howlett of Deadly Serious Productions. I can't remember his website. That is awful. We should have checked this out
before.
Oh, it's
Deadly Serious Productions, isn't it?
I'm sure if you Google Deadly shout Serious I'll find Productions, it. All right. Then you'll be able to find Annie Howlett is the guy who, lovely bloke, interviewed us from amazing curly hair. I used to have curly hair like that at school. It's mental. But yeah, wouldn't have thought it.
What are you chatting about?
Yeah, he interviewed us in London last season, ready for Tricycle, the magazine, which is now turned into a web news web article thing. So there's no actual physical magazine, but we will be on that website once we are on it. We've got to give him some pictures first, and then we'll be on it, which is cool because it will tie nicely with Get Lucid season 2, wouldn't it?
Really? Boom shaka.
And then you got did you get the website?
I've just posted it to you on Skype via technology.
Oh, technology.
It's a bit long to read out.
Come on, technology.
There we go. That.
We've got www.vimeo.com, which is spelled V-I-M-E-O, and then it's / Deadly Serious Productions. Vimeo is like a video movie type website. It's kind of like YouTube, but for more films and short films and stuff like that. So yeah, you should check that out. He does wicked, very funny, very black humoured comedy, and it's my sort of stuff, like very dry. So yeah, check that out, guys. Sean and Danny, once again, as usual.
The one and only.
Definitely the one and only. It's two of them, though.
The double act.
The double of R. I made that up.
They're bringing out a new episode soon.
Yeah, episode 6, I think it is. I hope it is, because then we just sound like right fools, bigging them up, and then we don't even know the bloody episodes. I think it's episode 6. They are releasing it in parts. So, yeah, we should be able to get them on for the show when
it comes out. We'll get them on.
Yeah, so that they can...
We'll roll out the red carpet for them.
So they can juice it up on the show. And just
damn right.
But yeah, I've also got... Right, these are three guys that really have been with us from the start that we don't know, that we never like knew, and they've kind of got on board with Get Loose. And that's Natalie Carroll, James Ashcroft, and Chris Lusang. I know Chris is watching now because I saw him post up in the chat. So... Thank you very much, guys, for the support last season. It was awesome. We got so many emails from you guys and just general support. So, yeah, keep repping it. It's been a cool ride with all you people. Right, you can find us, as usual, on the Get Lucid blog. Eventually, that will probably be torn down once the new site's up and everything. For now, it is the place to go for our audio podcasts. And if you want to download them, you can check us out on iTunes if you just search us. There won't be the video. Sorry, excuse me. There won't be the video, but there will be the audio to download. The video will be found on the Justin link, but I'll say that in a sec. But yeah, you can find us at getlucidukblogspot.com, as usual. Email us. Please email us. We love the questions. They are the tits.
You love them so much. I think it's because you've got a fetish for emailing.
I love
emailing.
Typing's my favourite. It's like...
Just send them out all the time.
I try my best to email everyone. And if I don't email you the first time, please message me or something, because it's normally a mistake. It's not that I've missed it. It's just that I forget to. It's like we get quite a few, as you could see.
Maybe I should do a couple
if
of emails.
You can't write, Smith.
Yeah, I could send an audio response.
Do that.
Audio file.
Do that, sir. That would be quite cool.
If you email me, I'll send you an audio file back answering the question.
You know you're going to get a shitload of emails now, Smith, and you've got to sit there for like a day just recording your own voice. Like, thank you for your email.
I just want a personal message with that sexy voice. No problems. I can do that as well if you want.
In a sexy voice.
Just send me the message. That is it. That is my sexy. This is it now. Constantly sexy.
Oh, I don't know. That's debatable, man.
You know it.
So, yeah, you can email us at getlucidukhotmail.co.uk. That's going to change eventually as well with the new site. So,
changing it all.
Twitter, we don't use, so I can't remember what that is. I think that's getlucidukhotmail. We will start using it. I promise. I promise we will. The new season, we said we were going to, so we're going to do it. I'm going to give Smith the details. He's going to run that one because he's a nutter and he'll suit it because it's a bit nutty. He's a bit of a twatter.
Oh,
crack that joke out again. Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right, brilliant. You can always find us on Facebook, and that is probably the best way to message us, full stop. Like,
yeah, just, we're always on there.
There's so many people that post so much cool shit, so please check that out. That's GetLucidUK. It's just search it, or slash Facebook slash GetLucidUK, or just Get Lucid and just search it. I'm sure we're number one.
So much Get Lucid. It's getting ridiculous.
Getting two.
You make it sound like we've got 50 websites.
We have, though. It's ridiculous. Now I've got to promote this one as well.
All you got to do is at the end of the show, just say, type Get Lucid into Google and you'll find something true related to us.
But we do, we now do have a video site as well to promote.
Oh, for God's sake.
But luckily, I got Get Lucid, so it worked. It's not Get Lucid UK this time, it's just Get Lucid. So justin.tv/Get Lucid. If you follow us, you'll get updates on when we're live and I'll send out emails and stuff like that. So for any people that want to watch live, we are going to broadcast every Sunday at 7 p.m. Obviously, that doesn't affect the guys that are watching the archived, or they're going to listen to the audio podcast. But yeah, so yeah, that's about it, really, Smith. We've got
that was massive.
We've done our hour.
That was good. Done our hour. Done it. We've done our deed.
What do you think of season two? Then any different?
Oh, I loved it. Actually, I'm getting really excited.
I missed doing season one.
Same here. One thing we've got to do is we've got to carry on with our little dream chats in the morning. Because I miss doing that, so yeah, we're going to bring that back.
We're going to try and bring it back. We're going to try and get proper back into it, so you guys get juiced up and we get juiced up, and it's all an amalgamation of dirty juice everywhere. Can't wait. So thank you very much, everyone, for watching. And
thanks for everyone supporting again.
And
it's been great.
We'll see you next week. So sweet lucid dreams, everyone.
Oh!
We'll see you next week.
Baby. Ooh. Cheeky.